This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Live and Learn with me, Dashrin Johan. The Hasana Forum by Yayasan Hasana will be held on the 17th and 18th of November with the team From Charity to Justice. The two-day virtual forum will focus on deepening conversations around key issues impacting nation building, such as socioeconomic issues, environmental injustices, even leadership, philanthropy, dignity and rights. So joining me on the show today to shed some light on this forum is Dato' Shahira Ahmed Bazari, Managing Director of Yayasan Hasana. Welcome to the show, Dato. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you, Dash. And thank you for giving us an opportunity to share a little bit about the forum.
Well, let's, before we get into the forum specifically, let's talk about, about Hasana as a whole. You know, what? Tell us a little bit about that, even Yayasan Hasana and the work that you do there.
So Yayasan Hasana is the impact-based foundation of Khazanah Nasional. We were established as an independent grant-making foundation on 1st of July 2015. So we're about 6 years old now. While we are a grant maker, part of the work that we do is also building capacity of the social sector and the third sector. And we're very humbled to be joining the ecosystem, although as a new entrant in 2015, but I think it has been quite an interesting journey for us. One of the things with our aim is to create greater impact for the nation, obviously as in the area of social change. As a foundation, we serve as a convener. So we bring different people together. We collaborate. So, we are a strong believer of collaborate and don't compete, right? It's a sector that needs to collaborate a lot more rather than compete with each other. And also invest in programs that catalyze social change. There are quite a huge number of social issues that are not merely the role of private sector or civil society, but collective responsibility of the system as well. So quite a lot of the work that we do catalyzes or demonstrate key change factors that can be done for it to scale at a system level. So that's who we are. We invest in five different areas, Dash. We look at education. In fact, 60% of our funding is in education, as we believe in talent and human capital development for our country. And then the other four areas are community development, environment, arts and public spaces, and knowledge.
Right. Now, this forum that is going to be held on the 17th and 18th, which we'll talk about shortly, is about social justice. What is Yayasan Hasana's definition of social justice?
Okay, good question. It's a very big word. Mm-hmm. And as we were planning for this forum, we realized that, it's an aspiration that has got very deep layers of context and understanding. And we don't intend to overclaim that we all understand it or downplay its significance and importance. But really, I think a socially just society is one where we prosper as a whole nation. And not where the financial interests of some are advanced while others are left behind or sidelined. So achieving social justice requires, in our understanding, is that it requires the collective will and the collective effort of everyone across civil society, academia, private sector, government, and also concerned citizenry. And that's why, we've chosen a very broad, important topic, a very deep topic, depending on how deep you want to go with it. Mm-hmm. But I think it's a good start because different people will have different perspectives of what social justice may mean to them. So we're really looking forward for this discussion, Dash.
Now, what are the, you know, when we talk about social justice, right, different countries face different issues at different levels. The progress rate is also, you know, it differs from country to country. When we zoom in on to Malaysia, right, what are the key social justice issues you think are currently plaguing the nation?
You're right to say that this issue is not just a Malaysia issue, right? It is something which the pandemic exposed, right? I think we've heard a lot that how COVID-19 has exacerbated and kind of showed its ugly head around inequalities in our social system, in education preparedness, in public health preparedness, and so on and so forth. So we believe, and that's why, you know, I mean, we conceptualized this conversation way before the pandemic. Actually, it was around about 2019 when we were kind of cooking this up. But it is happening next week or this week on the 17th and 18th. And I think that, you know, it's no better time to actually bring this issue up. We all know a bit more than we did in 2019 about issues of social inequalities and preparedness, social safety nets of people that are, you know, we saw that happening, right? We saw that, people did not have savings, you know, or mental health issues got more severe. The use of technology suddenly got accelerated now, you know, not just in school, but also, you know, entrepreneurs, micro entrepreneurs who were depending on their little shops that got closed now have to pivot and get online. So many things came to fore. And I think, you know, it's a good time to have that conversation. And the forum is designed to bring views by so many parties. Civil society had different experiences. Our government had different experiences having to respond. Obviously, private sector came to the fore and also had to kind of step up in assisting different people in need. A recent report by Khazanah Research Institute, right? Recently, they released a thing called Building Resilience Towards an Inclusive Social Protection in Malaysia. And essentially, the key findings, and this was released just in September 21. So obviously, some of the key findings, you know, as we said, COVID-19 exposed pre-existing gaps in Malaysia's social protection system, with many individuals falling through the cracks. Most social assistance programs continue to be short-term buffer and lack sustainable and legal foundations, thus resulting in unpredictable benefits, under coverage, we have inclusion and exclusion errors, as you know, and program fragmentation. I think these are some of the conversations we are all having collectively as institutions and organizations that are responsible in looking at social justice and social protection systems in our country. So it's not that there were lack of, but I think we can learn a lot from as we stand today, given that we were tested so badly in the last few years. And I think it's a good time for us to have this conversation. And really, the KRI report proposes that we need to build resilience in all our individuals. And they propose that social protection system looks at the whole life cycle approach, take a whole life cycle approach of an individual, right? So from a child, and what would vulnerability look like for not just B40, even like bottom 10, vulnerabilities are quite different from the B40 and then those just between M40 and B40. So there are multiple vulnerabilities, and vulnerabilities are multidimensional, right? It's not just, you know, at the most bottom, you would probably look at very basic needs. But, you know, even at B40, some of these challenges are quite multidimensional, right?
Yep.
So I think a whole life cycle approach in social protection, that a child is protected, that there is a social protection floor that is provided by government, development for us as individuals throughout our life cycle, in the middle as working adults, and then during retirement age, and what would that look like? So obviously, on the one hand, you have people who have good pensions or healthy EPFs to sustain their retirement. And then you have got, but what about those who doesn't? And we've seen some of the discouraging numbers from EPF recently, right? Mm-hmm. About individuals not having enough for their retirement. So I think something for us to look at, and I think basically our objective for this forum is to provide a platform to have these conversations and to have very candid and transparent and open conversations about what we should all be looking at. And it's not just the government's role, but I think it's a collective role of every individual's institutions, public, private, civil society, and also concerned citizenry. I think everybody has a role to play. And that's why the forum is open to all. And anybody can register to participate, because I think everybody has a voice and everybody should participate and you know, and be part of this conversation about our future.
Yeah, and I think what you brought up is really, I think it really hits the nail on the head, because a lot of these issues, you know, when we talk about social protection and all, it has been there, like it has been issues for years, but what the pandemic did was really bring it to the forefront. Now nobody can ignore it anymore, because everything you see in such a visceral way, the amount of suffering that it causes people, and you know, the lack of social support and what the impact is and all of that. Now, with all of this in mind, where do you think Malaysia stands in terms of social justice impact?
Well, I think, you know, I think it's evolving process, right? Mm-hmm. It's not just, like I said, it's not just unique for us. And I think as a nation, we've always stepped up and government is doing whatever they can to provide this support. You know, I mean, notwithstanding, you know, we are all learning from this process. Like I said, you know, we have multiple challenges, right? I talk about inclusion and exclusion areas, talk about how dynamic this database is, about who is in need. You know, I think we saw data about M40 going down to B40, and these are real-time changes in an individual's life. So how can we make assistance be more targeted, you know, and really meet the requirement and needs of individuals? So I think there is an opportunity for us to relook this. And I know that government is also looking at some of these improvements in terms of their own database system, in terms of how this database can be shared more broadly to civil society, because there are multiple parties. We saw that during the pandemic that civil society worked so closely with government. They were the last mile responders.
That's right.
You know, they were the one who took it to the most bottom of our society and people in need. And we work complementary, right? So so then data needs to be shared a lot more faster. Data needs to be updated so that there's no overlaps, there's no redundancy, there's no concentration of it in one area, whereas another area is left behind, and so on and so forth. So, you know, in terms of where we are, I mean, I think as in every nation in the world, we are all evolving. And I am hopeful, actually, Dash, because I think the commitment now, and it's like we always believe there's silver linings, right? The pandemic actually forced every stakeholder and every institution to rethink so many things. And this is just a pandemic. This is one shock.
Right.
You know, we are going to be facing multiple shocks in the future, you know, with climate change and all of these things that's going to come. How are we going to take care of each other, right? And how are we going to take care of the most vulnerable in our society? You know, it's a, I would say it's a work in progress, but I think it's looking promising and hopeful from an engagement perspective. And I think that, like I said, on the theme of collaboration, we need to engage in a productive manner. I know many stakeholders have various frustrations in engaging with different stakeholders, but I think for change to really happen, we need to be constructive and productive and engage in a way that furthers our ambition to solve a problem rather than, you know, compete or argue with each other. Then it's not going to be very constructive and productive. At the end of the day, people in need are the one that is being left behind. So we gotta move along and come together and solve these problems. And that's why, if I may just add the forum, the three core sessions of the forum on institutions, society, and leadership.
Right.
There are three core sessions. And we believe that both institutions and leadership needs to work and step up in thinking about some of these issues. Then, you know, you could look at the issues of society. Society is a little bit more bottom-up voice, and we need to listen to the to these inputs. But institutions and leadership are core instruments, you know, to make change happen. So we hope that we can get some good positions coming through.
On the show with me today is Dato' Shahira Ahmed Bazari, Managing Director of Yayasan Hasanah. After the break, I'll be asking her what people can expect from the forum. We'll be back with more on Live and Learn, BFM 89.9. Welcome back to Live and Learn. I'm Dashran Johan, and on the show with me today is Dato' Shahira Ahmed Bazari, Managing Director of Yayasan Hasanah. And we're talking about the Hasanah Forum by Yayasan Hasanah, which will be held on the 17th and 18th of November. And it has the theme From Charity to Justice. So, Dato' Shahira, now, you know, we talk about the problems, you know, social justice problems, inequality issues and all of that. Talk to me about some of the social justice work that Yayasan Hasanah has been involved in. And what difference or impact have these initiatives made, especially when we look at, you know, vulnerable communities, the marginalized communities and so on?
So, like I said, Yayasan Hasanah, you know, we provide grants to NGOs, social enterprises, in five core areas. That means education, community development, environment, arts, and research projects. However, during the pandemic, you know, we even expanded that to healthcare issues, obviously, and also animal welfare, because, you know, there were quite a number of, even our four-legged friends got left behind during the then our scope during the pandemic, so that, you know, we can assist everyone, including refugee communities, stateless communities, migrant workers, and so on and so forth. So what I wanted to say, I mean, firstly, Hasanah operates based on universal humanitarian principles, right? Including the principles of humanity, neutrality, impartiality, and independence. And we, on that basis, you know, ensure that human sufferings and needs are addressed. And as you know, we are a very strong advocate that aid does not discriminate, and therefore we help everyone in need, regardless of their nationality, political affiliation, racial or religious nature. And our own Hasanah values are also aligned to these humanitarian principles, right? So we ensure that we operate based on trust, good governance, and integrity. So in 2020, when we hit COVID, we urgently mobilized our networks, So for example, in March 2020, when it happened, we got in touch with all of our partners. These are largely NGOs or social enterprises, just to check on them, how they're doing. And many of them were quite restless because, first of all, nobody knew what was going on and how to operate. They couldn't go out to see their communities because of the lockdown and the SOPs and all of that. So, we assisted them in, we gave them, actually, during that time, we gave a one-off unconditional grant to a small amount to all of our partners, just to say, you know, take care of yourselves, get your PPEs, you know, pay your rents, make sure everything's all right. 2020 and 2021 was an unprecedented year actually for YH. We distributed 5 times more than what we usually did in the last 5 years.
Wow.
And 80% of our funding was pandemic related.
Right.
We doubled our outreach in terms of not just partners, but people reached. We used to be averaging about 40 to 50 partners per annum. Mm. But last year alone, we did about 253 partners. That was just through our grants, excluding all of our humanitarian response work that was done. So it was a steep learning curve for us as well, right?
Right.
And I think kudos to my team because, everyone kind of stepped up, did above and beyond Call of Duty because the need was just so urgent. Mm-hmm. And I think what powered all of us through was this fact that, if we don't come out and help, there will be people who will not get help, right? Mm-hmm. Who will be deprived of this assistance. So everybody stepped up. It was a big year, two big years for us in responding. And the other major thing that happened was collaboration, Dash. So
okay.
Even before the pandemic, we always talk about, hey guys, let's work together. So many of our corporate foundations are doing work in education, in community, in environment. Everyone is doing largely the same thing. So we've been trying to say, why don't we map all of our funding so that we can, increase the scale of the work that we're doing in, for example, public schools, rather than looking at our impact in silos, because we all have the same intentions and outcomes, right? Students and for B40 and all of that. So we've been advocating for that, but the pandemic just pushed us into collaboration, and not just amongst private sector, but also with government, So that was great because it's like for some, we collaborated willingly, but for some, we were forced to collaborate because it was just there.
Right.
And it turned out not bad at all. So for those who was very skeptical about collaboration, actually saw the power of collaboration, right? So I give you a few examples.
Yeah.
So when we started in March, one of the things that YH and some of the GLCs came together under the GLC Disaster Relief Network. So we have this GDRN, it's called. We had this running. Usually we come together during monsoon season for the floods. And so when we went into lockdown last year, we all came together and said, hey, what can we do? And all of the GLCs were wanting to help, but nobody knew how to help in a crisis. Nobody knew how to buy ventilators. I mean, it was so technical, right?
Buying equipment
and all of that. So it's like, we have the money to give, but we don't really know where to channel it to or how and how to support. And if you remember during that time, we had PPE problems, everyone was looking for these ventilators and all of that. So we coordinated a partnership with the Ministry of Health through Farmaniaga, who are experts in medical equipment and purchasing of all of these things, and basically got the companies to pledge a certain amount of money,
right.
and we informed MOH through Farmaniaga that collectively the GLCs had this amount of money to give, and we mapped the needs of the public hospitals during that time, and bought the equipment and got it sent. I think about 53 public hospitals benefited from the support, and the total contribution during that time, just 2 weeks, 2 or 3 weeks, was about 95 million ringgit.
Wow, that's fantastic.
Yeah, so that's the power of collaboration, right? If it was just YH doing it, it would probably be, much less. But when we pull together everyone, so I think that was a good example of collaboration. Mm-hmm. And then as we moved along, the government, as you know, was announcing various stimulus packages to respond to the need at that time. And one of the things that, actually for the first time ever, the Ministry of Finance partnered with us to channel money via through us to NGOs.
Okay.
Because we had our systems in place, we had our governance structures in place, and we could deploy fast. We could get it out.
Yep.
You know, it came through, and we got those assistance out to NGOs so that they could go out there and help people as fast as possible. So we complemented some of the initiatives by other government agencies, and some funding was channeled through YH to do that. So we called them the Hasana Special Grant. And we are continuing Hasana Special Grant in 2021, as well as 2022, actually was announced in the budget. So these are some examples. And you know, I mean, if you really want to think about so many things during the time, Dash, I give you a few examples.
Mm-hmm.
In schools, for example, we funded so many social enterprises and NGOs to help teachers gain confidence on teaching online, because suddenly, you know, they have to teach online. They're like, you know, and now we know Zoom and Teams.
Yes.
And all these things, but way back then it was like,
yeah, and know, none of the teachers had the training as well.
Oh, we were all trying to figure ourselves out.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so that was really useful for the teachers, because mm-hmm. it gave them confidence, gave them tools and tips about how to engage, you know, how to get your kids online, how to get them to switch on the camera, how to get them to be more engaging. So a lot of funding, a lot of grant was given for those purposes, just getting kids to continue learning. We also did a lot of remedial classes. So like for kids who were, you know, not able to connect and they've got exams, and although the exams were pushed later, but we like maths classes, science classes, English, BM classes and all of that, like, you know, like tuition,
mm-hmm.
extra classes, and make sure that the kids, you know, don't feel like they have been left behind. And then on the community side, we worked a lot with the community. All of our micro entrepreneurs got stuck, you know, and I think the biggest impact we saw when we pivoted them online is that they're actually doing so much better now online. Because now they've got their packaging and their branding, they've got their social media account. You know, they figured out the sending and the dispatch and all of that. So it's a lot cheaper for them from a overhead perspective.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, they're reaching so many more consumers and customers. So those are just some examples.
I think those are absolutely wonderful examples you have given there. Now, you know, when we, you know, shifting gears to the forum that is coming up, you know, y'all are organizing, Hasana is organizing its inaugural Hasana Forum 2021 this year. It's just around the corner, like we mentioned a couple of times, 17th to the 18th of November. Tell me a little bit more about the forum, because the theme I'm very interested in as well. It's called From Charity to Justice. Why did y'all go with that? What does it mean exactly?
Yeah, I think there has been a lot of conversations globally in the philanthropy sector around rights-based philanthropy, right? It's actually not charity. It's human dignity and rights, you know? So it's not something you pat yourself in the back, oh, I'm doing charity,
right?
Because this is actually the rights of every individual. So one of the things that, there were many things that inspired us, but, you know, I wanted to quote Martin Luther King, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And Dr. King, in his quote, goes like this, right? He says, philanthropy is commendable, but it must not cause the philanthropist to overlook the circumstances of economic injustice, which makes philanthropy necessary. This was one of the many inspirations that we had around really assessing, you know, I mean, CSR can't just be plugging the gaps of inequities,
mm-hmm.
And injustices for society. So one of the things that we hope that this forum will generate is a bigger conversation for our country in doing what's right for our vulnerable society. And the platform is meant to actually, convene thought leaders to speak about it. And we've curated it in such a way where we have good representation from government, from civil society, from private sector. So from young people, from NGOs from the ground, you know, also bottom up voice, so that, you know, it's collective. and hopefully, you know, it will generate not just conversations, but action in the form of, you know, collaboration. You know, we also want to open up the mind of all the stakeholders who are responsible in this area to work together, to trust each other and work together and say, you know, everybody is bonded by a common purpose and mission. Break the boundaries of trust and let's work together because everybody has got something to give. And that's why I think engaging with administration and engaging around multiple stakeholders requires a skill for you to be effective.
Right.
Yeah, if you're too combative in your engagement, you may not be effective, right? Mm. So there are different people who have different roles to play in asserting certain things that is good for the country. And I'm so delighted we've got good combination of international and local speakers. We have two keynote addresses by Kate Raworth, who's an author of Donut Economics and Circular Economy, which is a pertinent subject to talk about. And then we have Ben Phillips, who is an author of How to Fight Inequality. And he's got diverse experiences in many parts of the world looking at different case studies on, you know, making real change or, you know, a step forward in fighting inequality. So two keynotes. I'm particularly excited about our special addresses. And the special addresses, you know, brings together corporate leaders, Dash, who has been thinking about the issues of social justice, not just on the social sector, but also on the business side.
Right.
Because sometimes I believe that social is social, right? But it's business that is going to drive the bigger scale and impact, you know, around, obviously, we've heard about ESG and sustainable, you know, responsible business and so on and so forth. So, you know, we have got the two former CEOs of Khazanah, Tan Sri Azman Mokhtar, and we've got Tan Sri Shahril Ritza, and also the current CEO, Dato' Amirul Faizal, who will be speaking about this issue from a business perspective and obviously from a sovereign fund perspective and how they view these things. And then, of course, we have Tan Sri Jamila, who will be talking more from a planetary health and public and, you know, more multidimensional in terms of preparedness. It's not just economics, it's health and climate justice. So it's three things. And then we've got Datuk Sri, Tan Sri now, Tan Sri Nazir Razak. So we've got those special sessions, and we've got core sessions. We've got youngsters. We've got Dharma from
Undi 18.
We've got Shak Koyok, who will be representing the indigenous community. So we've got quite a number of civil society organizations as well coming in and just looking at the program. And the topics will cover. The youngsters will talk about not just indigenous rights, Undi 18, but we have someone representing persons with disabilities and someone also representing climate action and climate justice.
It's a whole gamut. It's a whole gamut of issues. Yeah.
It will be an exciting 2 days.
Yeah. It sounds really exciting. And I love what you brought up about, you know, how we cannot just look at, you know, social justice like a separate thing from economics, from business and all of these things, because they all intertwine. So, you know, when we talk about the forum, how can people, are y'all still looking for more people to participate, to join, to watch? And if so, how can people either participate or support this forum in any way possible?
Yeah, so because of the nature of the conversation, you know, we always believe that everybody needs to be part of this conversation.
Right.
Every layers of society, every individual, every Malaysian needs to participate, understand, learn. So it's open to all. It's free for you to attend. Obviously, you need to register. And you could go to our website. I think it's yasanhasanah.thf.org. But I think if you just type in the Hasanah Forum 2021, it'll take you to the site, and there you can register. And register quick so that you can get the link. We're sending out your unique registration links in the next couple of days. So register early, participate, listen to the conversations. And I think everybody can think about what is the impact that you can make in whatever role you are, in any age that you are, you know, what can you do to contribute to a better Malaysia, right? And we have always believed in that. You know, I think it's top down and bottom up and everything in between. Everybody needs to participate in this conversation. So you register. I think we've got some pretty good registration numbers already. We didn't expect it, but you know, we can take on the capacity. And I always also say this, Dash. I think the media also have an important role to play, to help socialize some of these conversations, because these are not YH conversations. Yes, Hasanah conversations. These are conversations, I think, that is important and worthy of socializing across all segments of society, because different people take it differently and can impact the conversation differently. So you know, also call on our media friends to participate and join, and you know, see what you can do with it.
Yeah, certainly. I think it's a very, very cool forum, and yeah, like you said, you know, it's something that all of us should participate in, regardless of, you know, sometimes people look at these issues and they say like, oh, I don't know, it's not something, I don't understand these things, or it doesn't affect me. But social justice, you know, issues affects all of us in different ways. Right. So yeah, you know, as Dato' Shahira just brought up, you can go to thf.yayasanhasanah.org and register there. So just a couple more questions for you, Dato' Shahira, before we wrap this up. What's next for the social justice agenda for Yayasan Hasanah after the forum? Are there any other initiatives in store?
Well, we will continue doing our work, Dash. We will continue to engage with civil society, social enterprises, lift their capacity and capability so that they can do more. Because I think our civil society network needs to be supported in their scaling them and in growing them. So we will continue to do that. We will continue to advocate and work with all stakeholders. And we will continue to push the agenda of collaboration. And so that we need to, I always say, connect the dots and work together instead of working in silos. And we are already seeing the how. I mean, this is something that we've always been talking about, but either people weren't sure how to do it or didn't quite put enough effort into it. So we will continue to do that. And I also wanted to say that this is our inaugural forum. So, we hope it turns out well. And, you know, if there are some issues or, you know, if there are any shortcomings, we will improve in the future. And we would like to take the feedback from everyone. In terms of how these convening platforms and discussions can be done in a very productive way. You know, so like, for example, maybe in the future we could have parallel sessions with students. It could be multilingual, for example, to really bring in the diverse voices in our country. You know, of course, now it's all in English and all of that, right? So hopefully in the future we can be a lot more diverse and inclusive and bring all voices in its most natural form. But this is a start, and we hope to get everyone's support and, you know, feedback in terms of how it could be useful for all of us in the future.
Great. Would you have a final message for us, Dr. Shahira?
Well, I hope you all will attend and participate and provide your voice and inputs into these conversations. Like I said, it's our inaugural forum. So kalau ada kekurangan, apologies in advance. Kalau ada kebaikan, talk about it a lot more and give us your feedback. We are just a convener. We hope that it will be useful for everyone who will be participating in the forum.
Looking forward to it. On that note, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you, Dash, and thank you for the opportunity to share the forum with all of you and your listeners.
That was Dato' Shahira Ahmed Bazari, Managing Director of Yayasan Hasana. If you missed any part of our conversation, you can check out the podcast on the BFM app, bfm.my, or pretty much wherever you get your podcasts from. I'm Dashran Johan, and this has been Live and Learn, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.